Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel on this Open Mic Friday, October the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2018. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and it provides you an opportunity to phone in with any theological question on your mind. If you're in St. Louis, simply dial 821-0850. And if you're toll-free anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. And it's best to phone somewhat early so we can get you on the air. What have we been talking about for the almost past week? We've been talking about the distinction between the vertical and the horizontal. And for those of you who haven't heard about it, let me just kind of quickly summarize. There's two ways to look at the vertical-horizontal distinction. The one way that I was taught at the seminary is you first need a vertical relationship with Jesus Christ. Vertical means up and down. Before you can properly have a horizontal relationship with your neighbor. Because if you don't have the vertical, anytime you do good works, they're always out of self-interest, not out of Christ interest. And that's a distinction between a good work and a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So, the more I read the Bible, the more I see this second view of vertical horizontal that I was reading about and I'm using. And that refers to the distinction between a believer and an unbeliever. The vertical refers to one who believes in Jesus Christ. The horizontal is how you try and get your justification from your environment, from your neighbors. You see, everyone is afraid of mortality. And it doesn't mean just dying temporally. It also means being alone, not having friends, being picked on at school, etc. Individuals, in fact, the Lutheran Witness has a whole subject about those who sometimes feel this way under mental illness or depression, this sort of thing. By God's grace, as I was reading through the Lutheran Witness, I thank him that I've never experienced that. And that's because not only did I get raised properly, but I just don't have a physical ailment like that. A lot of it isn't the fault of the person. It's simply the way the body works, where you have no control over it sometimes, like depression. And so I thank the Lord, even when I have been persecuted, it's not that I enjoy it, but I kind of always like to have an ability to fight back and when I'm right. Now, there's sometimes I have been wrong and I've had to been corrected. But by and large, I often feel that hardly anything can go wrong involved in the church. When I had congregation, there were times where we weren't sure we were going to make the budget. Never bothered me because I knew God would come through and provide something. In fact, we were doing a building program, putting up an extension on our church, and we were going to be about $50,000 short for the year. And one of our members who always checked out the building found that the electric had been put in a wrong way. And so it had to be reconstructed, and we therefore, guess what, didn't have to pay that company for over a year, and the amount was $50,000. So who knows what God has in mind at times. Our numbers are 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, and we need to go to the phone lines and talk with Mike. How you doing, Mike?
Good. How are you today?
Well, let me talk to you about that for 10 minutes.
Okay, let's hear it.
I'm doing fine.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead, Mike. What's up?
You're saying that people have a fear of death, and their fear is an intense loneliness, right?
That can be part of mortality.
Right.
You know, animals don't have that. Only human beings have the capacity to fear loneliness to the degree that they become depressed.
Well, you know, Mayor Koch, he was the mayor of New York City, and he had it arranged to where he didn't want to be buried in a Jewish cemetery. Of course, he's Jewish, because the Jewish cemeteries are always locked up in New York. And he had it arranged where he was buried in a Catholic cemetery. And the reason why he wanted to be buried in a Catholic cemetery was because he said they're open all the time, and he wanted people to come and visit him. You know, of course, he's dead. It doesn't make no sense. But he wanted people to come and visit his grave anytime they wanted to, or anybody who wanted to do it. And I guess that's what his thinking was. His fear of death was like an intense loneliness, and of course, that's how he at least tried to combat it.
That's a really good point, Mike, that people who only have a horizontal relationship with others, they try and get rid of that loneliness by doing good to others, and so they'll be thought of highly, and they really think a lot about their reputation after they die. And you just given an excellent example of someone who is not a Christian, he was Jewish, and he had to be in the cemetery that was unlocked. By the way, where we buried our son, that cemetery gets locked up. It's a Christian cemetery. Do you find that more cemeteries are getting locked up because of the vandalism that's occurring?
Almost every cemetery I know is. My brother's buried in Resurrection, and as far as I know, you could probably go there any time of the night.
Oh, really?
But they do have locked gates, but there are places you can get in that aren't locked. But I think they have a no trespassing sign somewhere, or not no trespassing sign, but they have set hours for the cemetery where, I guess, if you got caught in there like 3 a.m, you could be arrested for trespassing.
Yes, but your example is an excellent one, and I really appreciate your call, Mike. Thank you very much.
Okay, see you.
God bless. And anybody else may call. Maybe you have an example of this distinction between the vertical and the horizontal. But Mike really hit it on the head as an example that you always want to have a good reputation. That's how unbelievers attempt to offset their mortality. And when they try and do that, they're really trying to be self-justified by their works. Remember, that was like the Pharisees, the unbelieving Pharisees in Jesus' day. They thought they were better than other people. Thank God I'm not like that tax collector. And the reason they were, even in the eyes of God, is because they were fasting, they were tithing, they were looking to the ceremonial laws. In fact, as you go through the Bible, you can see this vertical, horizontal relationship. For example, with Adam and Eve, I think I mentioned this once before, but to illustrate again, they had a vertical relationship with God. They walked and talked with him in the Garden of Eden. Then the devil, in the form of a serpent, began to talk to them, and he began to work on their horizontal in this sense. Oh, you're told by God not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? No, I'll tell you why he doesn't want you to do that. Because then you'll be like God. You'll be able to know good from evil. Oh, really? And so, because of their desire, see, sin didn't occur when they ate of the fruit. Sin occurred when they decided to become like God, which is exactly the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. There is no sin you do that doesn't break the first commandment. And they became their own gods. And once they realized that they had sinned, guess what they did? They tried to hide from God. God, who is omnipresent, which means he's everywhere. They tried to hide from him. So they moved from a vertical relationship to a horizontal. In fact, I was preaching on Wednesday night as the people were coming out. I said, are you a vertical or a horizontal? And most of them said vertical, but this one lady, she said, I'm both. And I said, you know, that's really correct. According to your new man, you have a proper vertical relationship with Jesus. But according to your old Adam, your relationship is with a devil. And that's a horizontal relationship. That was really a good answer she had there. Our numbers, 821-0850. That's if you're in St. Louis. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. Now, we've talked about somebody in the Old Testament who got mixed up with the horizontal. Who is someone in the New Testament that really got mixed up with the horizontal? Well, a number of names can come to mind, but the one I think of is Saul, who became Paul on the road to Damascus. He did not have a proper vertical relationship with God. Remember, he thought God wanted him to obey all the laws. He says, of the Pharisees, I was the top Pharisee. I had a really good reputation. He was well known. In fact, he was so good at finding Christians that they had sent him to Damascus to ferret out Christians, put them in prison, after which some of them were murdered. So, who would have ever imagined that God would have chosen Saul to become apostle to the Gentiles? And when he became saved and he came to understand the meaning of Jesus Christ, salvation by grace through faith on account of Christ, what a difference. And he's one of the best. In fact, the morning show, Coffee Hour, was talking about Concordia Publishing House has put out some new Bible studies, and one of them is on Galatians. I would really encourage you to get that, because I consider Galatians chapter 3 to be the best chapter in the whole Bible that summarizes for us proper Lutheran theology. Galatians chapter 3. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk with Dale. Hello, Dale. You're on the air. Dale? There you go. I can hear you in the background.
Dale?
Yes, you're on the air, Dale.
You talking to me?
Yes. What's your name?
Dale?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. How can I help you?
Okay, I apologize because I didn't hear the whole broadcast. I came in just a couple minutes ago.
That's all right.
I understand that you're talking horizontal, having to do with the fallen world. But when I think of the shape of the cross and the vertical and the horizontal, I think of love God, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor is horizontal. Am I incorrect?
You are correct. I began by saying there's two ways to understand it. The first way is what you're explaining, that when you have this vertical, proper relationship with Jesus, then you can act horizontally, properly with your neighbor. I'm talking about where you use it in a law gospel sense. The vertical refers to the believer and those who only have a horizontal relationship with others refers to the unbeliever.
Okay.
But you know what I really like? I had not even thought about this, Dale. The cross, the vertical goes up, and then the horizontal is where Jesus was nailed through the wrists, and it was placed on the vertical. How did you think of that? Have you heard that from somebody else?
I don't recall where I heard it, but it probably comes from being Lutheran.
Well, that's an excellent example, and I'm going to keep using it when we're talking about the proper relationship with the vertical and the horizontal. Thank you very much for that insight.
Thank you.
All right. God bless, Dale.
You too.
All righty. Yeah, boy, you know, I feel like issues, et cetera, because they're always complimenting their listeners because we have the smartest listeners in the world. And Dale said why is because he's Lutheran. Does that make a difference? It makes a huge difference. As I think of every other Christian denomination in which people are saved, like Baptist, Roman Catholic, Presbyterian, and Methodist, there is a distinction between what Lutherans believe and some areas of what others do believe. And for example, let's just take Roman Catholics who pray to Mary. Why do they do that? I believe they do that because their old Adam thinks the horizontal way. For example, if I wanted to talk to the President of the United States, but I'm not going to be able to just go walking into the White House, but let's say I attend school with one of his children. So I talk to the children and I say, do you think you can get me an audience with your father? And they'll say, oh, sure. Why don't you come over at 4 o'clock? I'll let you in and I'll tell him you're coming. You see, I'm not worthy enough to go see the President of the United States, but I might become worthy enough if I go through his children. The idea that one has to pray to Mary to get to Jesus has a horizontal understanding that I'm not worthy enough to come to Jesus. Well, when you look at your sin, you certainly are not. But when you look at the gospel, God has declared you worthy. You are so worthy in God's sight that you are privileged to receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ in your mouth during the Lord's Supper. And then you're going to tell me you can't pray directly to God? Please tell me any prayer in the New Testament where you pray to Mary. No, when Jesus teaches them to pray, he isn't praying to his mother. Our Father, who art in heaven. That's how close a relationship you have with God. But when you think about horizontal, what you're doing is you're thinking, well, this is how it works in the world. If I want to see somebody important, I got to know somebody who knows that person. And therefore, they apply it to the church. The church is totally different than the world. The church is unreasonable. It doesn't make sense. Someone can be hanging on a cross beside our Lord, and he can look at Jesus and say, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And this guy's a murderer. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. That's a huge difference between the horizontal and the vertical. Notice, the other thief, he doesn't feel that way at all because he's only looking at things horizontally. But the thief who has faith in Jesus looks at things vertically. And what does he therefore hold on to? Not what he sees with his eyes, but what he hears with his ears. Now, we have 7 words of the cross that Jesus said. He may have said more, who knows? But even from those 7, you can see how the Holy Spirit created faith in the one thief. And when that faith was created, he said something the other thief was unable to say because he was still on the horizontal. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what did Jesus do? He gave him a promise. This is so important. In fact, when Melanchthon, who was a very close sidekick of Martin Luther, when he wrote part of the Confessions, he wrote it in Latin, and he didn't talk about law and gospel. He used, instead of the word gospel, he used the word promisso, promise. He referred to law and promise. Now, the law has promises. Do this and you will live. Or after the Sermon on the Mount, then you'll be perfect like my Father in heaven is perfect. But you see, the difference between the promises, and here's another great law and gospel distinction, and it helps you to understand the Bible when you're reading it. Am I reading law or am I reading gospel? If the promise is conditional, which means it depends on something you have to do, say, or think, then it's law. If the promise is unconditional, then it's gospel. When Jesus says to the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise," that's an unconditional promise. He doesn't say, "Well, if you start really doing better works." No. Some people will say, well, everything's conditional under the gospel because you have to have faith. But that's not something you do. When we talk about a conditional promise, it's something that you have to do. That's why the Sermon on the Mount is primarily law. After Jesus shows that sins are not just actions, but words and thoughts, at the end of that chapter 5 of Matthew, he says, "Then you'll be perfect like my Father in heaven is perfect." Talk about conditional. Talk about law. And why would Jesus do that? He does that because he's making a point that you want to get to heaven by your works? Here's what you have to do. Here's what you have to think. Here's what you have to say. And he makes the point to the people who are listening. "I say these things because unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you don't have a ghost of a chance of getting into heaven." The purpose of the law is to make you depressed over your works as a means of salvation. The means of salvation is referred to as the means of grace, which means you receive something you do not deserve. And what is that grace? It's faith in the promissio, in the promises of Jesus Christ. The promise that he just didn't die, he died for you. The promise that he just didn't rise from the dead, he rose for your justification. So there's two ways to get rid of the fear of mortality. The horizontal way is get people involved with churches that are really friendly, where people are talking to them and they don't feel lonely anymore and this sort of thing. Now, I'm not saying churches should be unfriendly. I'm just saying that that's a horizontal way of salvation. And churches that really do that well are like the Mormon Church and other church, well, I wouldn't even call it a church, but other religions that attempt to make you feel good about yourself. The vertical way is to repeat the promises of Jesus Christ. You're afraid of death? You're afraid of mortality? What does Jesus say to Mary and Martha at the death of Lazarus? "He that believes in me shall never die." You see, people who are on the horizontal can't understand that because people die all the time. We bury them. Aren't they dead? Well, their body is asleep in the grave, but their spirit is alive with Jesus. That's the promise that we receive. And therefore, with that promise, we have no fear of death because a believer will never die. The unbeliever, death will be separation from a gracious God, which happened to Adam and Eve. Remember, they ran and hid from God because they were afraid of God. And so people who are afraid of God on the horizontal will do one of two things. They'll either deny there is such a God to offset their fear, or they will make up a God that's more akin to their way of thinking. And that happens because of our old Adam, who once again is part of the kingdom of Satan. We're just like Adam and Eve. We love to pretend that we are God. Well, God has some confusing sometimes words in the Bible. Sometimes it appears that he likes the wealthy, and other times that he doesn't like the wealthy. Well, which is correct? On the next Law and Gospel, we'll be taking a look at a lesson from the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost to help us explain that. That's this coming Monday. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.